Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been teaching a middle school class in health, and we're going over emotions and how to deal with them and how having them does not mean you have to act on them and these sort of things. And I explained emotions this way. You know how there are primary and secondary colors, and that all the other colors come about by blending these primary colors, red, blue, and yellow. And that you cannot blend any other colors to make red and blue and yellow because they are primary. I told them that this is like emotions. You can imagine there are four primary emotions: happiness, sadness, anger, and fear. I told them that we have words for and experience of countless other emotions: guilt, excitement, jealousy, bitter sweetness. But these are secondary. All these can be understood as a blending of these four primary emotions. Now, if this is accurate, that there are four primary emotions, it strikes me that in heaven, according to my limited understanding of heaven, there will be no occasion for three of them. There will be no sadness, for Christ promises to wipe away every tear. There will be no fear, because there will be no enemies to contend with. There will be no anger, because there will be no injustice. That leaves only happiness, only joy. And while that's certainly not bad news, it does make me think I'll miss certain emotions. Excitement or anticipation seems to be a blend of both happiness and fear. Bittersweetness is happiness mixed with a tinge of sadness. Will we never be excited in heaven? Will we never shed even tears of joy when we attain our eternal bliss? Well, that's speculation and above my pay grade, but there is at least one blended emotion that none of us will miss, I can guarantee. It's the emotional blend of sadness and fear. I'm talking about anxiety, stress, worry. I don't think any of us will have trouble saying goodbye forever to this toxic cocktail when passing through the pearly gates. But there is good news for us, even while sojourning here in this vale of tears, this world of iniquity. Jesus says that we can give up our anxiety right now. Jesus says that you can stop worrying about the world and about earthly things. He gives you and me permission from God to stop worrying about this life. Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life?" But someone might say, "If I stop worrying, won't I be irresponsible? If there's a real danger, shouldn't I attend to it until it's solved? If there was a poisonous snake in the grass, I'm not going to let my guard down until it's safely out of range. Isn't it the same with other dangers of the world? And if I do let my guard down, If I do stop thinking about what might happen to prepare for it, and something bad does happen, well, wouldn't I be to blame? No, I can't control tomorrow, but if there's a potential for danger, I can certainly worry about it, anticipate it. Who knows? Maybe I can find a way to avoid it. Yes, we can worry about dangers in this life. Danger is a reality every day as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But does your worrying about it really prepare you for it? Jesus says definitively no. He says anxiety cannot add a single hour to your life. Instead, he says, learn. That's a better translation than consider. Learn from the lilies of the field how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, God clothes them, and gloriously. And if he clothes lilies who will only live and die in this world, how much more can we expect him to clothe us who will live forever? You've been baptized and prepared for a kingdom that will last forever. It is not made by human hands or human plans. Neither are its walls what keep it safe. It is the gracious presence of the Lord that makes it a sanctuary. In heaven, we will be with the Lord in glory. Here, we are with him in weakness and with much struggling. But whether we are here or there, we are with the Lord. And if we are with him, we have no reason nor right to worry about anything. Jesus warns us of trying to serve two masters here. He says you cannot serve both God and money. And we have a tendency to be anxious, but you cannot be anxious over both God and the world. So be anxious about God. Seek his righteousness and his approval. Strive to please him. In biblical Corinth, marriage was proving to be a source of much anxiety and sin. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, I wish you would all be unmarried like me. A man with a wife is anxious about this world. So is a woman about her husband. But the unmarried one is anxious about the things of God, how to please him. Now, this is not really about marriage or making any absolute statements about it. It's about how our ties to the world can steal our attention from the place where true joys are to be found. This is to point out that whatever our situation, anxiety spent on the world is a wasteful disregard of the grace of God. Think about it. Jesus says to not resist the one who is evil, that if he asks you for your cloak, give him your tunic as well. But really, if someone tries to take your coat, don't you have good reasons not to hand it over? You might get cold and suffer, maybe get sick. If you're cold, you might get cranky. If you're sick, you can't be well enough to help others. And what about him? If you let him take your coat, aren't you enabling thievery? Doesn't he need to learn self-discipline and responsibility instead of finding complicity with his criminal behavior? If you're anxious about this world, your mind will race through all these contingencies, and the answer in the end will seem clear. Don't give up your coat. But Jesus teaches that if someone asks you for your cloak, give him your tunic as well. If you are anxious towards the world, this is foolish talk. But if you're anxious toward your heavenly Father, who sees you in secret, do you really think he's going to be angry that you gave away your coat without agonizing over it? He feeds the birds who do not sow. He clothes the lilies who do not toil. He cares for all things, and not a single sparrow falls to the ground apart from him. If you let God be anxious about the world that will perish, you'll have the energy to be anxious for him who is forever. The treasures you amass on earth will pass away, but the treasures you store up in heaven are eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.